Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Well, thank you guys for joining me once again. I've got to tell you, I have back for the second time, Joe Yu, who is a lay pastor out at City Bible Church. And he's a guy that I've known for quite a while. We haven't known each other as well as I would have liked that we did, but we can correct that. We've been to lunch and we've talked, and more importantly than all of that is that he has taken a true love for the people at the mission. And so he has done what so many people don't do. A lot of times people will come to the mission, they'll donate something. I appreciate that. They'll even come, and sometimes people will come and be part of the nightly service, and that's wonderful. And it's no condemnation there. Mm-hmm. But Joe has taken it one step further, as many other people have too, and that in taking individuals and kind of discipling them, encouraging them, trying to direct them towards a good church, not just his own, but other churches too that would be healthy, well-balanced churches. And so Joe Yu is a talented man, but he has, you know, what's more important than talent? What's more important than talent is that he's walking with Christ. And so, Joe, again, it's a beautiful day outside, but sometimes the most beautiful days are in the biggest of crowds or the brightest of lights. We can feel hopeless, lonely, and alone, right?
That's right.
And the primary reason for that is that there is built in us all, I believe. We are God's creation. Don't misunderstand. I hear people say that we're all God's children, and I don't believe that to be true at all. We're all God's creation. But until you are walking with Christ Jesus, you're not a child of God. And so many times people's prayers are, hey, I'm in trouble, save me. Never gave any consideration before that. And so if you feel lonely and depressed, then my question is, have you ever gone to a church? Have you ever picked up a Bible? And I'm not talking about a church that wants to tell you how that you can be healthy and you can be wealthy and you can be wise. All you got to do is have enough faith. God gives you the faith that it takes to save. You don't create that on your own. You can't make yourself be born again. Only God can do those things. And so, Pastor Yu, you started when City Bible Church started. You were out with them, right?
I actually joined about a year and a half after the launch.
Mm-hmm.
My son was there initially, and I knew about it initially, but you know, as you know, it's even though you see another church that's really good, you don't just jump to another church. Nor should you. And so, you know, we continued in our church. We had some issues, but it wasn't the right time initially, and eventually the Lord showed us when it was the right time, and we did come over about a year and a half after the launch.
Well, you know, we all have certain people that we love to listen to too, right? City Bible has quite a few wonderful preachers. I haven't heard everybody. Yeah. I have heard Vlad speak, and of course, as you and I talked about last week, Ben Ito, I consider to be a personal friend. Yeah. I care about him, and I love to listen to him.
Yeah,
he comes and preaches at the mission. He comes on our Fridays. He's coming this Friday to speak at our prayer breakfast.
Great.
And so there's a lot of good things that are happening out there. There's several people that go there from the mission. And as you and I were talking about, my newest hire, Christian Okizi, is going to be baptized out at your church shortly and join. So Tell me a little bit about, I know you know him pretty good, so how did that relationship start?
So Christian is one of the guys in the program who found City Bible. I think when you're in the program, one of the must-dos is to find a Bible-believing church to get plugged into, because we were not created to be separate from the body of Christ.
Not at all.
And so I met Christian just as he was attending, but Christian, as you just said, is he's getting baptized, but he's also applying for membership at City Bible. And I had the opportunity and the privilege, actually, to interview Christian for his membership interview. And so I came out here early one Friday morning, and after chapel, we sat down and we talked for 2 hours. Normally, membership interviews don't go, you know, half that long, and we just had a great time. He shared with me his past, which was very rugged, to say the least, and how the Lord had humbled him and basically brought him to his knees to the point where the Lord had to do this to get his attention.
Yeah.
And one thing I really love about that interview that I will never forget is that, you know, we started talking about the grace of God.
Oh, amen. I love to talk about that.
And, you know, what we have that we don't deserve, what we have that the Lord has given to us, when we deserve wrath, he gives us his life. And so as Christian is talking about this, he's crying, and I'm crying too.
I'm with you.
And it was just such a, I'm not used to crying during, as an interviewer with an interviewee, but it was just such a dear moment to see how much or where his heart was, because it's easy to fool people, right? It's easy to say the right things and do the right things, but when you see somebody's heart like this, you know that he's in the right place.
Yep.
And that's what's required of all of us as we come to the Lord, is a humble heart, just a heart a heart of gratitude.
Oh.
He had just tremendous gratitude, a heart to understand what we've been given and what we deserve.
You know, we've often said, I know you've said this too, but I've often told people, please never pray, give me what I deserve.
Mm.
You better pray for mercy.
Yeah.
Never say, how come this happens to me? Listen, God has done such a work. And, you know, I don't want anybody to misunderstand what Pastor Yu is saying here. Gratitude is not gratitude that you've given me that too, of course, house and a car and friends. And that certainly you should be grateful for too. But over and above all of that, if God has taken you from death to life, has rescued you from hell, you need to be grateful for that every single moment, because you didn't earn it, right?
Yeah, no, you know, we'll never understand what that grace involves. We'll never understand even a little bit of it until we're in glory.
Amen.
With the Lord. And if we ever get a glimpse of hell, and a glimpse of glory, then maybe we'll understand a little bit more. But to understand that the God of all creation gave his only son to save his creation is something we can't understand.
Yeah, R.C. Sproul answered the question to someone who said, well, God's saving us from sin, huh? He said, no. He said, oh, from the devil. He said, no. He said, God saves us from God, because the wrath of God is on all of us until we are walking in Christ Jesus. And if you think that, hey, well, you know, I don't really believe, but I'm not a bad guy. Well, it doesn't matter whether you're a bad guy or a good guy.
Yeah.
You need to know Jesus is Lord and Savior. There is no other way. And there is no other, and to your point, Joe, I was just thinking about this again. I think about it often, but I was thinking, we have no idea to think about me individually, the horror that Christ went through, not only all the physical pain,
mm-hmm.
but to bear all the sin of all the world on himself.
Yes.
We can't even imagine the hell he went through.
No.
And yet he did it voluntarily. And here, this is important. God doesn't just forgive your sins. It had to be paid because he's a holy, righteous God.
Yes.
And to pay that price, it took a perfect life, and there was only one. And Jesus paid that all. So it all starts with gratitude.
Yeah.
It all starts with humility. And I can tell you guys on the program, when I start to see a growing gratitude and a growing humility, it, of course it's not perfect. Mine's not perfect by far. But I can see when a person is starting to be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Christian is one of those guys it's obvious to see.
And he needs to continue in it.
Yes.
You know, that's one of the things I told him about this. And I've talked to a lot of guys in the program, and normally I don't say things like this, but I've seen a lot of guys get out of the program and not do well.
Yes.
Because they forget the cross.
Oh.
They forget the fundamentals of the gospel, what they've been given. They start taking their eyes off the Lord, and they start getting their eyes on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Christian, I said, Christian, you know, we're crying about God's grace, but if you start forgetting that, if you start getting your eyes on the other things of this world, and you're going to get a job, and you're going to get all these things that are so enticing, and you're going to start treasuring those things and treasuring Christ less, you're going to crash and burn. I will do that too, Christian.
Me too.
I told him, if I'm not involved in the life of the church, if I'm not in prayer and in the Word daily, I am going to crash and burn. We all need Christ hourly, just like that song. You know, we need Him every hour. That's so true in my life. And I wanted to tell him that because I wanted to tell him that before he does not do well. And there will be times when he doesn't do well, and he has to redirect and refocus his eyes back onto the Lord and off of himself.
I took him out to lunch. We just hired Christian as our new head cook. And no, I don't generally hire people off the program, but every once in a while there's somebody that, first of all, he's a fabulous cook.
Yeah.
Moreover than that, God has implanted a truly gentle spirit in him.
Yes.
And so I took him out. I was unable to be at his graduation on Friday, and it was unavoidable. I was trying my best to come down to do that. I was on vacation, but that's not why I didn't come.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, that's immaterial. But so I took him out to lunch because I wanted to talk to him and everything. And like you said, we spent a couple hours at lunch, and I don't generally go out to lunch for 2 hours.
Yeah.
But this was a special occasion. Matter of fact, I eat mostly every day at the mission. But so we were out to lunch, and I saw those same qualities again in him and gave him pretty much the same admonition that you did.
Mm-hmm.
Need to stay hooked in. You need to do that. I'm pleased you're going out to city. You know, that's great. And his thirst for the knowledge of Christ and the heart of Christ, which knowledge puffs up, but when you really start getting the knowledge implanted in your heart and realizing what it means, that's when it takes that puffiness out of you.
Yeah.
So he's a good guy. And so, Joe, you said you've been doing this for about 10 years at the mission, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
think
well,
so.
It's hard.
At least, but you know how time flies.
I do know, and I've tried to remember exactly the first day that I came to the mission. Mm. And all I can remember is that I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, yes, I'd been a tradesperson, and yes, I've been around fairly rough guys occasionally, but that's not who I was.
Yeah.
And certainly there's a difference. But I think that the problem is that sometimes we think of homeless people as them and us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is it really them and us?
No, it isn't. It's everybody's heart is essentially the same. Mm-hmm. We all have rebellious, sinful hearts until Amen. We come to the Lord. Once the Holy Spirit regenerates us, then we see this world, we see everything through different eyes.
Yep.
Exactly.
And when we do that, then that is where the Lord wants us. That's His desire for all of us to be in that place. But that decision,
right.
He's not going to force us to make that decision.
You know, the process of sanctification to become more Christ-like, you know, when we get to that point where we are walking in sanctification, the Lord is you know, we are sanctified by grace as well, but our spirit needs to be in cooperation with avoiding those things. That's why it keeps us from doing the things that what's the Bible say that we want to do.
Yeah.
And isn't that true? Even of those of us that have walked with Christ a long time, there are times like little kids, we want to stop our feet and I want to do what I want to do. Well, of course, we look better at it, but that's really our heart.
It's a daily battle with selfishness and pride in my life.
Me too.
It's incredible how little thoughts reveal my sinful heart. Something happens, I look down on somebody else,
yes.
I'm judgmental, I'm selfish, I don't want to share, just
exactly.
like a little kid. But, you know, I'm always asking the Lord to not only point that out in me, but to ask Him to take that away.
Oh, amen.
And confess it.
Yes.
It will not be the last time.
No, it won't be the last time. I've had to counsel many people, and realizing that through that counseling, I'm actually talking about myself too.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, this is what you're doing. Yes, Pastor, that's what I'm doing. That's what I did too.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that necessarily to them, but every step of the way, I have to ask myself, what is your heart really doing in this situation? Mm-hmm. You know, you're talking to this guy, you're counseling this guy. Where's your heart mm-hmm. here?
Yeah.
You know, how often driving down the road when somebody cuts you off, are you not angry with them? And I jokingly have told people that when I became a believer, I thought I was going to have to quit driving because it's difficult. When I hear somebody on the television, on the news station, and they're criticizing something I believe in,
mm-hmm.
I become angry
yeah,
about it.
Yeah.
And yet, I've told people at the mission, I've given so many sermons down there over the years, and I remember I used to tell them, if you're suffering tonight and you're a Christian, then I want to assure you that this is the only hell you're ever going to know.
Mm-hmm.
And if, on the other hand, you're going to reject Christ to the very end of your mm-hmm. life and you don't care anything about it, mm-hmm. then understand, you might as well go and have as good a time as possible because this is the only heaven you're ever going to know
mm-hmm.
and then hell,
mm-hmm.
and it's eternal.
Yeah.
And so people will sometimes criticize pastors who talk about hell. Why do you have to talk about that? Because it's a reality.
Yeah, it's a real place.
And I would rather you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I said. So here's the analogy. A friend of mine goes blind all of a sudden, and he's walking towards a cliff down a path, and before the cliff wasn't there. Maybe there was an avalanche, but he can't see. So I say, hey, you know, up ahead is rocks and there's a big chasm. No, I know this path. No, there's a big fault up there. You're going to die. Look, don't bother me. I know this path. At that juncture, should you say, okay, well, I don't want to offend you, and then let them walk off into eternity?
Yeah.
I said, no.
The last time I was at the mission, I told them, you know, I was talking about what the Bible says, the second death. You know, we all die the first death, but the second death is, that is whether we know the Lord or not. And I told them that, I know you don't like to hear about it. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't like to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But I also don't like to talk about heart disease and diabetes.
That's
but
right.
I do like to let you know how to prevent it.
Correct.
And so the Lord wants us to prevent that with the people that we speak to. And he does not, his desire is that all would be saved.
You know what? I just did a sermon on about there's now no condemnation for those who were in Christ Jesus. And so Pastor Mooney kind of thought I was going to go a different way. Mm-hmm. And so about 75% of it was about the wrath of God that is coming for those who are not in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Because, yes, it's wonderful. I am so happy that there is now no condemnation, no matter what, for me. But I want them to know that every day they're building up wrath for that day of judgment. And there is only one way to alleviate that wrath.
Yeah.
And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So, you know, we only have 2 minutes left, Joe, but I would like to make sure that maybe you could come back again in a few months or so and we could sit and talk again.
Sure, I'd love to.
You know, it's so refreshing when, and there are other pastors too who want to get involved, people who want to get involved in the lives of our people. And it's so pivotal that after they leave the mission that they have a church and that they have people who want to disciple them and people who want to be part of their lives.
Yeah.
You know, somebody to talk to. I mean, we all have. So we're down to 1 minute. Any closing thing you'd like to say?
Well, I just appreciate you and all that you've done for the mission. I love the mission. All the people who work at the mission understand that the gospel is the center.
Amen. And
without that gospel, it's just a cafeteria and a cheap hotel.
That's exactly right. And I got to tell you in closing, you said something to me that I found very humble for you to say. He is a talented wood carver, an artist. I mean, I'm serious. He's wonderful. And he's getting a little arthritis in the hands. And he said, but if God takes that from me, that's okay. So as always, my dear friends, until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
You've been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to UGMSAC.com, UGMSAC.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268, 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.